I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and Judges chapter 16. We're in a series called Samson. Been studying the life of Samson, and today's message is going to be titled "Brace Yourself," and that's going to make sense to you just here in a little while. Where I came up with that title at. But we're going to start in Hebrews 11 and finish up in Judges 16. If you haven't, I encourage you to study the life of Samson in Judges chapter 13 through 16. It's a great story, a great Bible character. And the reason why I felt like doing this series is because the movie just came out here not too long ago, and I encourage you to go see the movie because it's very good and it actually follows the Bible for the most part. They had to condense it down, of course, for, you know, the movie, but it follows that timeline very well, and it's a very good movie. Jade and I went and seen it, and it was very good. But just a little bit more background on Samson. Every Sunday I've been trying to bring a little bit of information about him and his life. But Samson was the 12th judge of Israel, and the number 12 in Scripture means authority and government is what that means. I'm just going to ask you a question. When you hear, because most of you, I'm looking, surveying the room, most of you have been in church, most of you grew up in church, but when you hear the word, when you hear the name Samson, what do you think of?
Hair.
There you go. Hair. What else do you think of?
Delilah.
Strength. Yeah. We always think of hair, Delilah, and strength. That's probably the top three. You guys nailed it right there. But we don't ever see him. We think, and I also think about, I don't know about you, but when I think of Samson, I think of his failures, you know, and his moral, just all his failures, everything, you know. But I'm going to show you something here in just a second where I feel like me as a pastor, and I'm talking about myself, we as a church and the big C, the church at large, needs to get with God the Father and have the Father's heart for people. Because God doesn't say anything about Samson's failures. And I'm going to show you that here in just a second. But whenever I think of Samson, and you're going to think Pastor Mark's a bad guy when I tell you all these things, but this is what I think when I think of Samson and as I've studied his life. And if you go see the movie, you'll understand why I think this as well. I think of Samson. Samson was a greasy dude, okay? You think KFC is greasy? Samson was greasy. He had a lot of stuff. He was a very charismatic guy, very likable guy, but he was a ladies' man, and he was the kind of guy that would steal your woman if he thought that she looked good to him. He's going to beat you up and take her home with him. He was that kind of guy, okay? He liked the company of prostitutes. When you read Judges 13 through 16, he had a lust problem. He also had a pride problem. He knew he was good looking. He knew he was tough. He knew all that, and so he used it for his advantages. Those were all gifts that were given to him from God, but he used them for himself. Samson's lust for women was a symptom of something worse, and that was a me-centered life. If he saw a woman that he liked, I want her because I want her for me. It had nothing to do with her. I'm pointing at my wife, but I love my wife. We're celebrating 26 years of marriage this year. Amen. God is good. Yes. Also, Samson's name means sunshine, but he lived his life between sunshine and darkness. That's where he lived his life at. Now, there's a scripture that if I told you guys, because I surveyed the room here, and I know most of you have been in church for a long time. Every one of you in here know Romans 3:23, right? I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Good job, Justin. And I see a lot of you in here nodding your heads going, I know that scripture. But here's the deal, and I'm telling off on myself too. But we can all say that because we all want to point out the faults in other people, their sin, his faults, her faults, blah, blah, blah. And we can all quote Romans 3:23, for we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I doubt that there's anybody in here, without you looking at your Bible or on your smartphone, can quote Romans 3:24, which comes right after it. We all can quote the negative, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, amen. We're all sinners in here, right? We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that. I don't need to get up in here and beat anybody up this morning. We all came in here knowing that. I'm here today to encourage you. And so there it is, Romans 3:23. We just said it. Everybody pretty much in this room knows that scripture. Those watching by church's aid as well, we've all heard it. We've all even seen it on church signs. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. And then, but Romans 3:24, haven't seen this one on a church sign, and we don't quote it enough. It was right after Romans 3:23. It says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." That's the gospel. That's the good news. The verse before it is the bad news. We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Look at somebody and say, that's the good news. All right, here's what I want to tell you today, and you can post and tweet this. Young people, I want you to post and tweet this because your parents are going to have a slow time doing this. And I know you guys are really good at doing this, all right? You guys are very good at posting and tweeting. The church, the big C, the church, which includes our church as well, but the big C, the church needs to get over its fixation with telling people how bad they are. I'm going to say that again. The church needs to get over its fixation with telling people how bad they are. Please post and tweet that. I'm going to say it again. The church needs to get over its fixation, F-I-X-A-T-I-O-N, if you don't know how to spell that, with telling people how bad they are. I don't need to tell anybody when they come through these doors how bad they are. We all know that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We need to hear Romans 3:24. But all are justified. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So is everybody posting and tweeting that?
Gotcha.
Okay, good. That's, yes, yeah, fixation, F-I-X-A-T-I-O-N. But my pet peeve, guys, I'm going to tell you this pastor's pet peeve. My pet peeve, and I don't think we will ever have one as long as I'm the pastor here, is a church sign. If we ever do, it'll be posting good news, but never, because most church signs that I have drove by church signs that say turn or burn. I'm like, okay, that really ministers to me. That really helps. That really encouraged me today, you know, and I'm like, come on now, let's get a better church sign than that. Let's put up something that's going to encourage people. We need to encourage people and bring hope. We need to bring the good news. The sad thing is the church is full of people, and I'm getting on my soapbox this morning, that we're always pointing fingers at people and judging them by their sin and by their faults, and yet we got the same issues going on in our own lives. And we need to stop it in the name of Jesus. Amen? More people will darken the doors of the church house, when people are encouraging them and bringing them hope and bringing good news. Amen. Is when they'll start coming. You know, I heard a story this week. And it was talking about two swimmers, and this is a lot like the church. And one swimmer, you know, jumped out of the boat, and he was bragging how he could swim for 10 miles. And so he jumps out of the boat, swims for 10 miles, and then he just drowns. He can't swim no more. He's ran out of gas. The other guy, there's another guy with him, and he decided he was going to jump out at the same time, but he was bragging about how he could swim 40 miles. Because you can swim 10, he said, bye-bye. Swam the next 30 miles, and he petered out and drowned himself. But here's the deal. The shore was 50 miles. They both drowned. They both needed help. They both needed the Savior. One could only swim 10, one could swim 40. And so what we do in the church a lot of times, we're bragging about, I can swim 10 miles. I can swim 40. But the shore is 50, and we're all drowning if we don't have a Savior to save us. And so what I want to kill today with this message, I hope that I can today, in all of us, because I've seen it creep up in my own life, guys, is that self-righteous Pharisee attitude that we're just a little bit better than somebody else. And I call it, you might want to write down these initials, CA. I call it CA, Christian arrogance. Christian arrogance. My brother and I were talking this week. Matt's gone to, well, he's probably healing up today because he rode 100 miles on a bicycle yesterday. So pray for him. He's probably laid up good today. But we were talking this week, and he was telling me about somebody, and I talked about this last week, if you weren't here, about on Facebook and watching yourself on social media, especially Christians, and don't get on, the political and all the kind of stuff. I have my opinions too, but I'm just not going to post them out there for the whole world to see and start debates and arguments and yada, yada, yada. And Matt was telling me about somebody. I never did see it, but he told me about a guy that had posted on Facebook and or commented on somebody's deal. And my brother, we were talking about it, and he said, Mark, that's why people don't go to church. And I had to agree with him, is because he was like, he's a hypocrite. He's on there, bashing somebody, and he's got his own issues. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I wish that we could all stop it in the name of Jesus so that more people would come to know Jesus. And getting back to my message this morning about Samson, as I've been studying his life, I found out, and God began to deal with me as I was studying his life, that I was already judging this guy for all the things that he had done. And I was like, man, why couldn't he, using that strength that he had and those giftings he's had for God's kingdom, why couldn't he do that? Why did he keep lusting after women? And why did he marry a Philistine woman who was he married the enemy? I mean, God, this guy is dumb. He is stupid. What is he doing? And I'm reading this story, and that's what I'm thinking. And we are inclined to judge Samson by his weaknesses. But I'm going to show you something in Scripture, but God commends him for his faith. And God uses, and this is what God showed me, God uses very imperfect people to accomplish his work, and he is not limited by us, and thank God he's not. And I'm going to show you this in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 32 through 34. It says, and what more shall we say? Shall I say? That's like a preacher closing for the third time. He says, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, there he is, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. And when I read that, I was like, Samson was mentioned in the hall of faith? Samson, this guy that screwed up so many times, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And so when we think of Samson, and I heard y'all say it, hair, Delilah, and then strength is what I was after, we think of strength. And I'm going to show you something in Judges 16, verse 19, and we talked a little bit about this last week, so you need to get the CD or go back and hear the podcast, but it says this about Delilah. It says, after putting him to sleep on her lap, okay, so Samson's head, his head is laying in the lap of Delilah. She called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him when that happened. And we talked about last week that when you're laying your head in the lap of Delilah, Delilah is a type and shadow of deception. She was deceiving, that spirit was deceiving Samson. And began to subdue him, and it says that his strength left him. Now, if you know the end of the story, you know that his strength came back and all that. And here's what I want to tell you about Samson and about us today. It's not about your strength today. I'm looking around here at everybody, and I see a lot of strong people. You may have came in here and you feel weak, but you're stronger than you think because you have Jesus in you. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. So it's not about your strength. I'm going to give you another S word. It's about your stability. And I want to talk to you about, are you stable today? Are you stable? This is something the Lord has been really speaking to me personally in my life over the past several months, and it's been coming out even in this story of me studying about Samson. God's saying, Mark, you're strong in me, but there's some areas in your life that I need to stabilize. So you need to allow my Holy Spirit to work in your life to stabilize those areas. And I'm gonna tell you at least 5. So right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So this is a 5-point message today. It's not going to take me long because I want to, at the end of this, I want to minister to you too. I want to I felt like the Holy Spirit told me this morning, we don't do this all the time because we have our ministry time during our worship, and then I teach, and then you guys go home. But after the message today, I believe that there's going to be some of you in here that I need to pray for personally, like lay my hands on and pray over you, okay? And if that's you, I want you to come up here because that's what I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. So the question I'm asking you today, and you're going to see where I'm going with this here in just a second, but are you stable? Are you stable? You are strong. In Christ, you are strong. You've got everything you need in Christ, but you've got to be stable to handle that strength. And that's where Samson, where his fault was at. It wasn't about his strength. He had faith. God loved him, but it was also in his stability that was where was the crumbling was taking place. And the best illustration I'm going to give you is here a few years ago, my daughter got me to working out at a gym in Elk City. And every gym has its culture. I've been working out up here some with the Leedy Sweat Club, but here, finally getting over it this week, I kind of threw my back out, and that's where I'm going with all this. But a few years ago, I was going to this gym, and at this gym, every culture has a gym, every business has a culture, every church has its culture. But this gym, it was geared towards powerlifting. So there was a lot of testosterone flowing in the gym. And so I go in there, and I had a personal trainer, a guy that was helping me, work out and do stuff. He's half my age. I think about it now, he could actually be my son if I had him when I was a teenager. I mean, that's how young this guy was, but he was pushing me. And I needed to be pushed, I did. But then something happened in competition set in. And I'm like, I'm trying to be like a 20-some-year-old, and I'm 48 now. And I wasn't using my brain. And so I'm trying to be like him, and this guy was strong. I mean, he was a little bitty guy, buffed up. He was Hercules is what I called him. So I'm trying to be Zeus, and he's Hercules, I'm trying to be his daddy, And so we start working out together, and I'm like, dude, I think I can lift that. And he's like, Mark, but he was even encouraging me, let's do it, And I'll tell you, one of the things, I was deadlifting, and deadlifting, is when you do this, and you come up, and, and so I'm like, I can do this. And he said, we got to doing, over 300 pounds, and we got up to 400. But there was something, my core, as you can tell, is not very stabilized, okay? So I don't have a stable core. So I had to get a big old weightlifting belt that was about yay thick to go around my midsection. And when I had that weight belt on, I felt more stabilized, and I could actually do more weight. Because without the weight belt, I could get up to about almost 400 pounds, and my goal was to beat 400 at deadlifting. But when I would get there, right when I would pick it up, my mind would say, you better drop this or your back's fixing to explode, because I didn't have that weight belt on. I wasn't stabilized. And so I couldn't ever break that. And if you've ever lifted weights before, you'll understand what I'm saying. There's a mind barrier too. I just couldn't get past that 400 number. And I'm like, I am going to conquer this. So I got that weight belt. What I should have been doing was working on my core more. But I thought, no, I'm going to take the easy way and do a weight belt. So I got this big old weight belt, about a half inch thick of leather. So, I mean, I've got it all sucked in. I'm coming over the top like a mushroom. But I could barely squat down. Yeah, y'all are getting the visual now. And I could barely squat down and get a hold of the bar. And I got it. And I came up with it. And I got to our gym had a competition. And I deadlifted, guys, with that weight belt on, 465 pounds. That was my PR, my personal record. So I was pretty proud of myself. But I still found, and I got stronger as I was lifting. But this illustration is going somewhere, okay? But I realized, I can't have that belt on all the time, and that was helping stabilize my core. I've really got to work on my core more, and I still do. I've got a long ways to go. Because I did not work on my core, that's why just here a few weeks ago, and I can't, Jada was kept asking me, what did you do? I can't tell you what I did. I think I just bent over one day and felt something give in my back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm down in my back again because I haven't worked on my core. And I'm like, and I can't walk around with that with that weight belt on all the time. You guys wouldn't let me, I promise you, if you saw me in that thing. And so I was like, I've got to work on my core. Well, over Christmas, we went to Arizona to see our daughter. And Taya has been working, they have a workout facility at her apartment complex. And so she never asks Mom, it's always Dad. Dad, come work out with him. Dad. So I go work out with her. And so we're down there working out, and she's actually doing a lot of core exercises this day, and I'm trying to keep up with her. And I mean, we're working out the core, right? And I get done, and I'm looking in the mirror and thinking, my gosh, I should have shaved off 15, 20 pounds if that worked out. Nothing's changed. I'm looking in these big old mirrors. And I look over to, well, it's actually to my left, and I see a guy, an older man. He's in his 60s, maybe 70s, and he is just laid out on one of those exercise balls, you know? He's just, he's laid down on this ball just like this. And he looked like he was dead. I had to look, make sure he was okay. And he's just laid there on this ball like that. And I'm standing up there, and I was like, I got to get a picture of this. This is Facebook worthy, talking about Facebook. So I take a picture of him, and I said, this guy's really on the ball. And what I later found out, he was actually working on his lower back. And what that was, when I thought he was just sleeping on the ball, was that was actually a stability ball. And he was working on his back and his core, you know, getting his muscles more stable. So I said all that to say this. You need to stabilize some areas in your life. And I'm trying to help you laugh because we all have areas we can to work on to stabilize. Our marriage, our family, work life, finances. There's so many areas. I could just keep on talking about things. And there's things that I'm working on right now to stabilize. But what we see in Samson's life is in Judges, and he's the 12th judge of Israel. And when you see the children of Israel in Judges, what you see happen there is Samson was an unstable judge sent to an unstable people, because they would serve God for a little while, and then they'd go back to serving some other god. They'd serve God for a little while, they'd go back to serving the other gods in their life. So it was a very unstable environment. And I want to tell you today that there is a connection between your stability and your strength. Amen? There's a connection between your stability and your strength. And that was what the disconnect was, and what that contradiction that we see in Samson's life. There was a disconnect between his strength and his stability. And so I want to give you five pillars real quick to help stabilize your life. And the first one is emotions. Write down emotions. And I want to ask you, are your emotions stable? God gave us our emotions. It's okay. It's okay for me to get loud in here. It's okay for me to shout and get excited. Amen. It's okay for that. God gave us emotions. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to have fun in life. God gave you those emotions. But are you a drama queen? Okay, and I hear an amen. I'm not even looking at people right now. But there's also drama kings. You can't let guys off the hook because there's drama kings. I've been around some. And I'm going to tell you something about Samson. Samson was a drama king. If you study his life, he was a drama king. When he got mad, he killed people. You better watch out. When women, you know, the emotions of women, they cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay for men to cry. It's okay for women to cry. It's okay for men to cry. It's okay. God gave us all those emotions, but are your emotions stable? And this is what I want to ask you. Do you have emotions, or do they have you? And a lot of people walk around just in this emotional frenzy all the time, and you see them coming, and you're like, you know, stay away. You're not stable. I don't need to be around you. That kind of stuff. Anybody got some people like that in your life? Yeah, don't look around. And I'm going to tell you something about me. I'm going to tell you something about my emotions. I have emotions too. And I have found out the older that I get, I have something that I do, and Jada has made me aware of it and has helped me in this area. But I had to come to grips that I do that. And I need to stop it in the name of Jesus. But if I have a bad day or a bad 2 weeks, or you know, how many of you ever had bad 2 weeks or a bad month, bad year, or whatever? But just here, just a few weeks ago, I came home and Jada had prepared dinner, and Jada's a great cook, and I love to eat her cooking. But she had made, it's like I got to have dessert, right? I don't know if anybody's like, you know, you eat dinner and then you got to have dessert. And so she had made this whole, like a pie, I don't know what kind of pan that was, but a pan full of, it was just one big cookie is what it was. One big chocolate chip cookie in a pan about yay thick, right? And oh man, it was heavenly too. And when I walked in the house, all I could smell was chocolate chip cookies. And I'd been having a bad week, I'll just be honest with you. And she knew I had. And it just, you know, just things weren't going right, different things happening, and she knew all about it. But she was not in the room when this happened, but I actually, and she came and she said, "Honey, did you realize that you ate half of that pan?" And I said, "Yes, I did, and I did it in Jesus' name, too." And I literally OD'd on chocolate chip cookies. And the reason why I did was because my emotions, I was stress eating. How many stress eaters you got in here? I'm a big time stress eater. And I didn't realize until I'd realized, I was like, man, I better quit. And I was really thinking I could eat the whole pan. I really could. And so I was like, I better stop at half. And at least, and Jay was like, "You ate the whole pan, or the half of the pan." I was like, "Yeah, I OD'd on chocolate chip cookies." So I've had to find out that I do emotional eating. And guys, you know what? That's not good. It really isn't. And I need to stop it in the name of Jesus. But I was telling Jada, I needed that in Jesus' name. I needed that in that milk that I drank along with it. And I just went into a sugar coma and went to bed and woke up the next day with a sugar hangover, you know, when you wake up like that. But so what I'm saying is we all need to get, or you're going to go through emotional things in life. I can't. But when you do, don't go to chocolate chip cookies or Oreos or peanut butter. Go to the Lord. Amen? Some people do that. Some people go to drugs. Some people go to alcohol. Some people go to sex, pornography, whatever it is. I went to food. I was like, give me some more chocolate chip cookies and I'll be okay. But what we need is not a cookie. We need Christ. Amen? And I'm preaching to myself today. So that get your emotions stable and go to the Lord. Get into the Word. The Word, getting the Word into you daily helps your emotions stay stable. Okay, here's number two. It's commitment. Number two is commitment. We've looked at this last week, and we all know that Samson was supposed to be committed to the Nazarite vow, but he wasn't. The Nazarite vow was he was to stay away from the grapes and the wine. You know, those things. We studied this last week, the Nazarite vow. And then he was to not cut his hair, and then he was not to touch anything dead. Those were the three things, and we talked about last week what that means in our life in the New Testament. But he was supposed to be committed to that, but he wasn't. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know what you're committed to? And here's a better question, do you know what you're not committed to? You need to know what you're committed to and what you're not committed to. Your yes be yes and your no be no. You need to have boundaries in your life. Better yet, you need to have some fences built. You need to know where your range is at. Okay, here's number three. So that's number two was commitment. Number three is ambition. We're learning how to get stable. These are some areas we need to get stable in your life. Your ambition. Samson had a whole lot of ambition, and that ambition was supposed to be his strength, his God-given strength was given to him so he could be a deliverer of Israel. That was why, from the enemy. But that was to be his ambition in life, not just for himself, but for others. But Samson used that for his strength for himself, for revenge when he got mad against his enemies, and also for women. That's what he used his strength for, those two things. Samson took what he wanted, and he used his strength for himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something about ambition. There is healthy ambition, and then there's unhealthy ambition. God gave us, you need to have ambitions in life, amen? You do, but they need to be healthy, and there's such a thing as unhealthy. Samson, this all I'm trying to tell you is that Samson had an unhealthy ambition. What he should have been using that to free the people of Israel, he was using all that ambition on himself. So there's three things you need to be a success in anything in life. You need talent or giftings, and every one of you in here have talent and giftings from God. You need to discover those. The next thing that you need is opportunity, and God will open the door for that. for the opportunities to come, because the Bible says your gifts make room for you. And then, but the third thing that you need is drive. And that's up to you, the drive to do it. The talent, the giftings, the opportunity, and then the drive. And here's what I've learned about our lives as Christians, guys. We don't want enough in life. And I'm going to explain that. We want, but we want for ourselves. We don't want so that we can be a blessing to others. And I had somebody this week tell me, they said they knew that, you know, I just recently got my real estate license, and so they were saying, Mark, I can't believe all that you're doing. You know, how do you keep up? And the scripture that came to me, to whom much is given, much is required. And I was like, because I got big plans, I got a big vision, I got a big mission, and it's not just about me. I've got a lot of things I'm going to do for the kingdom of God. And I've just decided what I'm going to do is not sit around and wait for it to come in. I'm going to take the talents and gifts that God's given me. I'm going to let God open doors for opportunity, and I'm going to put the drive to it, and I'm going to put myself into position to cause it, to bring it to pass and cause it to happen. That's why I'm doing all this. And it's not for myself. It's because there's a lot of things that I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to get a radio station started out here in Western Oklahoma and to get us, and I'm hoping somebody hears this in the name of Jesus and writes a check today, but to get us on the air, it's going to cost $100,000. That's bare minimum to get the equipment and everything that we need. But I just finally decided, you know what? I'm going to be a part of getting that $100,000. Mark Haney is. I'm not going to be sitting around saying, woe unto me and somebody give it to me. I'm going to use the giftings and talents that God's given me, the opportunity and the drive to it, but I'm not doing this for myself. I want more so I can be a blessing to others in my life. That's what I want more for. And so that's a healthy ambition. An unhealthy ambition is when you're wanting that you're using your talents, your giftings, and the opportunities that God's given you and your drive just for you and nobody else. You've got to include your family in that. Then you got to open it up even more than that. You want to help other people. Jade and I want to launch an online website to help people that are broken, you know, to minister to people with what we've been through in life. But we want it to be a blessing to other people. So I want more so I can be a blessing to others in my life. All right, here's number four. That was ambition. Number four is relationships. Relationships. When you study Samson's life, you're going to find out that he married the enemy. He married a Philistine woman. He decided, well, if I can't beat him, I'm going to join him. And the reason why it happened is, and young people, listen to this, please. He didn't listen to his parents. Your parents are smarter than you think. Even the ones that are in here with me, my parents are smarter than I think. You need to listen to your parents. God's put people in your life, teachers, coaches, different people like that, to help you in your relationships if you will just listen. You got to listen. There's been several times in life and business things that I did not listen. I did not listen to my wife. If you're married, your spouse is your number one confidant who you need to talk to. And there was a time, I can remember this vividly, that I did not listen to her on a situation, and it came back to bite me in the butt. And I wish I'm like, okay, she's Holy Spirit Junior in my life. I mean, God, her and I together are, and with Jesus, with the Lord, that's the threefold cord, and you need to listen to your spouse. And don't do anything until you both have peace on something. So relationships. Samson married the enemy. Shouldn't have done it if he'd have listened to his parents, and life would have been a whole lot better. This week, I heard about a guy that was on drugs and got put in the hospital. And every day he had his drug friends showing up to make sure he was well supplied and, you know, got their money and he got his stuff and all that. But when he went in the hospital, guess who didn't show up? His drug buddies. Yeah, so relationships. His drug friends weren't there for him. If you want to be stronger in life, you can't hang out with weak people. If you want to have a blessed marriage, you can't hang out with people that are divorcing. Amen? Because what I've learned in 25 years of pastoral ministry, that divorces run in packs because they're listening to the wrong people. If you want to be an eagle, you can't hang out with turkeys. Look at somebody and say, gobble, gobble. Now we're all going to be eagles. All right, here's number five is belief. Number five is belief. Some of you need to start believing again. Belief. Some of you need to start believing again. Your strength to believe for more or for better has been weakened by what you've been going through. Anybody else been there? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and cap where I just like, well, you know, I got a roof over my head, I got a few groceries to eat for today, and that's okay. You know, we'll see what tomorrow holds. And I'm just not, and you get to that point where you're just like, you're not believing, you don't have the strength to believe for more or for better, and it's all because of what you've been going through, the circumstances in life. And I'm here to tell you today, have faith in God. God has more for you than what you're going through right now, a whole lot more for you. But like Samson, here's the deal. You know the story of Samson in Judges 16. It says they gouged out his eyes. And here's what I want to tell you about that. Some of you are walking too much by sight what's going on in your life and circumstances and situations, and God is telling you, you need to keep walking by faith and not by sight. Look at somebody and say, you need to walk by faith and not by sight. All right, last scriptures that we're going to look at. So here, I should have been using my PowerPoint for you. 1, emotions. 2, commitment. 3, ambition. 4, relationships. 5, belief. See, I was so caught up in getting this message out to you, I didn't even go through the PowerPoint. And here's Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse 22. And we're going to read 28 through 29. I encourage you to go read this whole story yourself. But says, after the Philistines got him, they gouged out his eyes and they put him in prison and he's grinding the grain and doing all the stuff that he's doing. In verse 22, it says, but the hair on his head began to grow again and after it had been shaved. Look at somebody and say, I'm about to grow again. Okay. His hair started growing back and that was symbolic of his strength. His strength was starting to come back. So, you know, strength never left him. It was always there. But he had to get stabilized in his life. And in verse 28, it says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars, talking about the pillars to stabilize your life, on which the temple stood, bracing himself. Everybody say, bracing himself. That's the title of the message, brace yourself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, and it all came crumbling down. And the Bible says he killed more Philistines and helped in the delivering of Israel in the last episode of his life than he ever in all the combined of his life before that. But he braced himself. He got stabilized is what happened to him. And so what I did today is I brought you a message that I believe, and it's been speaking to me as well as I've been studying this, to stabilize our lives. Every one of us in here are stronger than we think. We're strong in Christ, but there's some areas in your life that God's speaking into to help you get stable so that you can handle the blessings that are coming. The reason why there's not more blessings coming is because God's saying, I need you to get this area stabilized so you can withstand the blessing that's coming. And everybody said, amen. Now here, this is an acronym for BRACE. Belief, we're going to reverse the order. Belief, relationships, ambition, commitment, and emotions. When you do that, you're going to brace yourself, and you're going to start seeing great things happen in your life. And everybody said, amen. I don't know, you know, there may have been one of those that spoke to you. There may have been several of those five that spoke to you. But what I want to do is we're going to, you know, if something in this message really spoke to you, what I want you to do is come up here and, you know, I'm not the big evangelist on altar calls, as you can tell, but I want you to come up here and just stand. If it's with you and your spouse, if your spouse with you, you can come up here and stand, and I just want to pray over you. I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was preparing this, and this is what he spoke to me, and I wrote it down. Mark, strengthen people today through the ministry of laying on of hands. There is a ministry in the Word of God that just talks about the laying on of hands, and through that, God uses that to release things into our lives. And so I want to pray over you today, whoever that may be. I'm just going to lay hands on you so that you receive strength in Jesus' name for whatever you're going through, okay? And I'm going to ask you, so when you come up here, I'm going to ask you, because, yes, I believe in being led by the Holy Spirit, but God gave us brains too and all that, and I want to use that because I want you to tell me what you feel like, what you believe that the Lord has spoke to you, whether it was, you know, in the belief area, the relationships, the ambition, the commitment, or the emotions, or it could be, you know, you may just come up and say all the above, you know, whatever. I need brace. And Jade, I want you to join me if you don't mind in praying, because we're going to spend these last, you know, 10 so minutes just praying for you guys. So if any of that spoke to you, I want you to come on up here. Okay? That's my altar call. And go ahead and keep that CD running if you don't mind, because I'm going to keep my microphone on as well. Amen. And so if you're with your spouse, just or if family deal, stand with, amen. Amen. Yeah, we're all family here, that's right. So I'm going to start over here. Jay and I are going to start over here, and we may jump around. We may not just go in a complete line, but what can we pray with you guys? Belief? Okay. All of it. Okay. All right. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for Dusty and Betty. I thank you for all that they, and if you're, you know, you that are out there today, that you, I want you to be praying with us, okay? So that helps up here. Father, we thank you for Dusty and Betty. Yes. God, I thank you for everything that they mean to Jade and I and to this church family, Lord, and we just release our faith with theirs today, God. And yes. You told me, Lord, to lay hands on people so they would receive strength. Yes. And so, God, I'm just being obedient to your word today, God, and I just lay my hands on Betty. I lay my hands on Dusty, and I just ask for you just to release your strength into them today in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I know this couple has been through a lot and with family and different things that's been going on. And God, I just thank you. I just hear you speaking over them that you are pleased with them. God, that, Lord, you're releasing blessings that they, and they've been making room to receive it. But God, and there's you're just stabilizing every area of their life. There's been a kind of a deal in them both where they've kind of, not stop believing, they've always believed in you, God, but just not really activating their faith like they should. And God, we know that your word says in Hebrews 11:6 that faith is what pleases you. So Lord, I thank you that their faith is being released today, is being activated. God, they're going to start believing again, believing for more, God, in the name of Jesus, because this is a couple, this is a power couple, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you're going to release your power through. And so Lord, we just speak blessings over Dusty and Betty today, God, that they're bracing themselves today to receive more from you, Father. And I thank you that they're activating their faith. Just that word in Hebrews where it talks about that the message or the word didn't benefit them because they didn't mix it with faith. But this couple's leaving here today mixing everything with faith, God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you're releasing strength and faith in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for Anita. God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you the other night when she came by our home and just opened up her life to us. Jade and I, we never take that for granted, God, being a pastor and being pastors, and God, when people open up their lives to us, God, and this is a daughter of yours, God, yes. And Lord, I just sense in my heart that Anita needs to see herself as worthy before your throne, God, to receive blessings, to receive goodness, to receive better, God. And Lord, I just hear that word worth being spoken over Anita and value in the name that you value her so much that you died on the cross in her place, God. And I know she knows you, Lord. I know she's saved. I know, but God, I just thank you that there's a mind shift that's happening within her, an image shift. She's going to start seeing herself as a daughter, yes, of the Most High God, that she's, yes, been created in your image, God, in the name of Jesus. And so, yes, Lord, I just cancel any word curses that's been spoken against Anita, yes, in her life, God, and we just release your word of faith over her, yes, that, God, that she has been created in your image, God. And we thank you and praise you that you're ministering this to Anita today. God, she's going to mix faith with it, God, and she's going to walk out of here strengthened in the name of Jesus, because she's going to be saying, I'm a daughter of the Most High God in Jesus' name. She's going to have that self-image. Lord, I pray that you brand that on her heart and on her mind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Embrace. Yes. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Ward family in Jesus' name. Thank you for Luke. Thank you for Carrie. Thank you for healing her today. Thank you for Grace. Thank you for Parker. Thank you for Mark, God. God, this is a family that has been called by you and for you, God, in the name of Jesus. This family has so many gifts and so many talents, Lord, in the name of Jesus. There's so many opportunities that are about to unfold in this family, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, I know that, Lord, they've been waiting, waiting for it to happen, waiting and waiting is what they feel like, God. And I just sense in my heart that they're another one that has had that their belief has been beat up, God, is what I'm hearing over them, God, with just different things that's been happened, circumstances, situations. But God, I thank you that you're releasing more. You're releasing your faith into this family today, a family faith, Father, that they're going to stand strong. God, that there's opportunities that, God, that they hadn't even thought of, hadn't even dreamed of, God, that you're going to begin to open up in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you and praise you that, and their drive has kind of waned here lately, God, just almost to the point of giving up. God, I know that that's not in them, but it's been there, that temptation. And so, Lord, I thank you. The word that I'm hearing over them today is do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season you're going to reap a harvest. Amen. In Jesus' name. Do not become weary in well-doing, for you're going to reap a harvest. And so, God, I just thank you. But here's the deal. Here's something else that I'm feeling the Lord say over you guys is that you need to release. This is something that God has spoken to me recently, guys, and I just want to give it to you as well, because I had to realize that I had made a God of something, and it was the God of the way I think things, the way I think things should be. And God's saying, release that God right now. And because my harvest for you is going to look different, my harvest for you is going to be the best harvest. And just know that your Father has your best interest at heart. But just release that thought. It's a thought that sometimes we can just keep meditating on it and think about it, and it becomes a God to us. Is that thought of these are the things that I think should happen, God. Mm-hmm. And God's saying, just release that to me, and just trust me, because I know what needs to happen. And I'm doing a deeper work than you could ever imagine in your lives, is what God's saying. But it's going to produce a big harvest in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I just release that over this family today, and I release your strength. I just pray that, God, that brace, that they're going to brace themselves in all areas. I speak stability over this family in the name of Jesus, God, and I speak healing over Carrie, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for what you're doing in the Ward family today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for Frank and Linda. God, I thank you for this. This is another power couple, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you. I celebrate with them for all that you're doing in their lives, God. Lord, that they're stepping into more ministry in their lives, God. It's not a, and God, a lot of times when we think of ministry, we think of church and a pastor and all those kind of things, but their ministry is out in the harvest fields, God. And God, you're calling Frank into this, the whole country of India, God, and you're opening up doors there. And God, I'm praying blessings and favor over this couple, that they stay braced up in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I'm just hearing even the words lace up as well, because God is putting running shoes on you both. And so don't just, you know, you've even had those thoughts, God, you know, we're older, we're this, we're that. God said, no. Hey, I did great things through Moses when he was 80. And so you've got lots of years left, and there's lots of things that God has for you ahead of you. And so God's saying, lace up and brace up today in the name of Jesus. And he's got so many great things ahead of you guys. And but stay connected, stay one in this situation. Don't move without one or the other. I mean, stay, you know, both of you talk and communicate, and don't move on anything until you both have peace about it. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you're giving this couple wisdom and on everything that they're doing there with in India and with this business that you're giving them, God. And so, Lord, just in all areas of your life, God, I pray blessings in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you that they're lacing up and bracing up today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is everybody still praying with us? Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Love it. Just loving on people. Father, we thank you for Jesse today, and I thank you for her being here today and being able to be here, God. And I thank you that Jesse has a huge heart, God, for you, God. And Lord, I thank you that you're just ministering your love and your grace to her today, Lord. And I just pray, Father, there's these... Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that there's a couple areas that you're ministering to, and Lord, one of them is in relationships. Lord, she's been learning how to put boundaries up and fences, Father, in some areas that she knows that she needs to, and so Lord, you're giving her the strength to do that, Father, and I just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And those are good things. A lot of times we feel guilty when we say, well, you're a yes person, Jesse, because you always want people's approval. But there's some things that the Lord is telling you to say no to, and you can do it with grace. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're giving her the strength to be able to do that, to put those boundaries and fences around her, because that's going to help. As she does that in relationships, that's even going to help her with her emotions, of bringing stability to her emotions, God. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And I just speak stability over Jesse today in the name of Jesus. Stability in her relationships and stability in her emotions, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in her life, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for Jordan today. I thank you that we talked this morning how she had went with our youth last week to Hammond, and she got saved, God, and she's going to be following the Lord in water baptism here soon. And so, God, I just give you praise and thanks for that, Father. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're showing her at a young age how to brace herself, Father, how to be stable, God. And she is actually even... She's seen stable things and she's seen unstable things. And God, I can sense in my heart today that she's wanting that stability in her life. And so, Lord, I just thank you that Jordan is going to be a stabilizer in her life and in her family, God, that she's going to have those stable emotions, that stability that people are going to be drawn to. And so, Lord, I just thank you that stability is going to lead her in her relationships with others. And God, she's learning what to be committed to and what not to be committed to. God, you're giving her that wisdom at a young age, even now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that she's going to have healthy ambitions in Jesus' name. And so, Father, and I just pray that thank you that her belief button was pushed last week, and she's a believer. And she's going to continue to believe, and she's going to grow in her faith in you, God. And I just lay hands on her today, and Jade and I do, and we just release just faith and strength over her today, God, in the name of Jesus. God, as I lay hands on Jordan today, God, I just release your strength. God, you've given her strength in the name of Jesus. You haven't given her a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And God, she is way stronger than she thinks because you're in her, God, and we just release that over Jordan today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, I thank you for Otis and Lena. This is an awesome couple, God, another power couple. God, they're awesome servants. They have done so much here around our church over the years, God. Just thank you so much for them today, God. I thank you that as I've seen this family in our church, I've seen them, and I know it hasn't been easy, but God, they have raised some great children and some great grandchildren, God. And they've always opened their homes up to others, God. And they never judge, is what I was talking about today. Yeah. They have been a church. This couple has been a church to other people, God, and I thank you for that. I've witnessed it. I've been a partaker of it as myself, Lord, and I thank you for that. Yeah. But Lord, I thank you that God, you're using them in a powerful way out in the oil field and in different areas, God. And I just pray that they would continue to let you use them in that area, Father. And because this couple has awesome love in their hearts, and it's your love, Father, the Father's love. Yes. And I know that they don't feel it, but I've seen it and witnessed it myself, God, that they minister strength themselves. And God, I know sometimes when we give out a lot, and they've given out a lot to their family and to friends and coworkers and different ones, and been a home opening up to other people. And so, God, I thank you and praise you that they're here today receiving the strength that they need for this next phase. I'm hearing a next phase of ministry for them. And so, Lord, I don't know what all that involves, but, God, we just trust you with it in the name of Jesus. And, God, I just praise an extra measure of strength over Otis and Alina. Yes. And, God, they've given out so much, and they need more of your strength today, God, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just lay hands on Otis and Alina, and God, just release strength over them in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I love you guys. Y'all can stay up here if you want, because I'm going to speak a blessing over everybody. Can we do that? I want all of you up here to hold hands, okay? Want to thank you guys. I know we don't normally do this, but we needed to do this today, amen? I needed this today. And so we want to speak a blessing over you guys. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Love you. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. You are dismissed. Have a blessed week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Amen.
Core love, boss.
Core love. Love you.
Love you, Mark.
That's good. Core love. Thank you, brother. Love you guys.